Welcome to the Grace Abounding Broadcast, sponsored by the Shreveport Grace Church here in Shreveport, Louisiana. I'm Pastor Ken Weimer, and it is my privilege to bring to you today the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May our Lord God be pleased to bless His Word to your heart as you listen today.
In Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, we read, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." A hymn writer asked this question in a hymn that is sung, "What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping?" And then the answer to that question is given in the chorus, This is Christ the King." Now that's a good answer to that question, what child is this? This is Christ the King. But sadly, just as in so many hymns, the rest needs some correction and clarification. The song goes on to say, "Whom shepherds guard and angels sing." The shepherds to whom the revelation of Christ was made known, of his birth, they didn't guard that baby. That baby was none other than the Son of God. God the Father himself had his hand upon him, bringing him into this world for a purpose, and that is the salvation of his people. But the angels did sing and give him praise and glory, him being their creator and their master. And they looked into these things as he was brought into this world. You see, angels are finite beings. They discover, they learn, just like any finite being must. And they marveled at this one who is their God, their creator, their maker, now is in the form of a human. And the song says, "Haste, haste to bring him laud." But then again, there needs to be a correction, because it says, "the babe, the son of Mary." If that's all we know about this one who came, that he was a babe and the son of Mary, dear friend, we've missed the message of salvation. It's not the babe, but it's the Lord. And it's not the Son of Mary. He's the Son of God. Now, in my text here that I've just read, Gabriel, the angel, has the distinct mission of announcing what he had already announced to Daniel several hundred years previous. If you'll go back to Daniel chapter 9 and read verses 21 to 27, you'll see that the same Gabriel appeared unto Daniel to show him what would be in history up to the coming of the Messiah, who would come and fulfill all righteousness and salvation for his people. And now this same Gabriel comes and announces to Mary, a virgin. Now it says here, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. You see, back in Jewish tradition, the parents would work out the marriage relationship. And as soon as that was worked out, it was a legal and binding contract, even though the man and the woman would not actually come together until some time later. And it was during this interval that this angel appeared unto Mary, who was still a virgin, and said that she would conceive and bring forth this child. This also is in fulfillment of God's prophetic word that he spoke all the way back at the fall in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve first fell. And God spoke of the seed of the woman that would come and bruise and crush the head of the serpent. That prophecy foretold the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's called the seed of a woman, not the seed of a man. Normally the man has the seed, but here he's called the seed of the woman because that seed which was put in her was not of man, but of God. It says in verse 35 of Luke 1, when Mary asked, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" The angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that Holy One which shall be born of thee shall be called," here it is, "the Son of God," not the Son of Mary. As we consider this passage together, let me give you two warnings. First, you notice the focus of Christ's coming is not to be the angels. There's far too much curiosity and attention given to angels today. As you walk through the malls, you see these angel trees. You look on television and you see programs dedicated to the mysteries of the angels. Well, dear friend, the angels are not to be worshipped. The angels themselves worship none other than God's Son. Here in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 5 it says, "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son? This day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world," that speaks there of Christ's birth, "he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him." So the focus of the attention, dear friends, is not the angels. And secondly, the focus of the attention is not to be the virgin. As mysterious and wonderful as this is, that God would be pleased to bring his Son into this world of a virgin, a woman who had never known a man, yet we're not to get caught up with Mary as a virgin. No, the glory of this is the one that was brought through Mary by the grace of God and by the will of God the Father into this world in order to be the Savior of sinners. Now, Mary was chosen according to the sovereign will of God and not out of any perfection in herself. This doctrine that's being taught in some places today that somehow Mary was without sin, that goes contrary to all that the Scriptures teach. In fact, Mary herself did not look upon herself as anything but a sinner. As you read on in Luke chapter 1, in verse 46, a number of verses later, it says, "Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." If she were without sin, why would she call God her Savior? And she says in verse 48, "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." She sees herself as nothing but a guilty sinner. one upon whom God had set His favor and His grace. And as she said, He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. Dear friend, Mary was but an instrument of God to bring His only beloved Son into this world. And she recognized that as the object of God's blessing, she was highly favored. That word means to have the grace of God put upon her. And why was it? Well, it was because of Christ. And in that, she typifies any that are truly believers. How is it that any can come to God? How is it that any can be called the children of God? It's only because of His high favor. As she says here, that the angel says to her, "Hail, thou that art highly favored." The word means graciously accepted or much graced. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou. You know, the same thing is said of those that God has chosen for salvation, just as Mary was chosen for this particular mission. Those that are chosen of God unto salvation, it's said of them that they are highly favored, that they're blessed of God. Why? For Christ's sake. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Would you have the blessing of God? Dear friend, it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing in you that would ever cause God to show you favor. If He does, it's only for Christ's sake. And one final point regarding Mary here. Notice the angel said to her, "Blessed art thou among women." He didn't say, "Blessed art thou above women," but among women. Among others that the Lord is pleased to bless, she was one who was blessed. Blessed with faith to believe. She had to trust in Christ as God, trust in Christ as her Redeemer, trust in Christ as her righteousness, just as any sinner must if they're to know the favor of God. It says in verse 45 of my text in Luke 1, "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." No, dear friend, the focus of Christ's coming is not the angels. It's not to be the virgin. The glory of Christ's coming is the one who came. Who is He? Well, the angel announced Him here as Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, in a few moments, I want to come back and bring out four particular titles that are given here of the Lord Jesus Christ. This one born of a virgin, whom to know is salvation. He's called Jesus. He's called Great. He's called Son of the Highest. And He's called the King. In a few moments, we'll take a look at these titles. Please stay tuned.
He came down from heaven to redeem us. Oh, what pain and shame He suffered here. Above every name is praise the name, Lord Jesus, above every name is the name.
Let me draw your attention once again to my text here in Luke chapter 1. And I want to read particularly the announcement that Gabriel made to Mary concerning this one who would be conceived in her womb of God and would be the Savior of sinners that God has purposed to save. It says here in Luke 1 and verse 31, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Let me bring to your attention four particular titles given to this one who was born of a virgin. First, he's called Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now here we see him in his humanity. The name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. Now, this was a very common name back in this day. Many of the Jews would name their children by this name. And yet, just as many names, and many times parents will call their children names without giving any thought to the significance of those names, so it is here with regard to what God the Father has ordained concerning his own beloved son as he was brought into this world. Many people don't give any thought or consideration to what it means. Oh, they pronounce it. They use it. And sadly, it's used even today in such a common way. And yet, who was this one of whom it said, "Here thou shalt call his name Jesus"? Dear friend, in this one, the very glory of God is veiled in a man. Although he bore a very common name among the Jews, yet that name is above every name. Over in Matthew 1:21, it says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." The Jesus that I hear so many talking about today is one who came to try to save. People will talk of him as having a plan or a mission in coming, and yet they portray him as nothing more than just a man, having come and tried to save, and having been put to death, and then miraculously raised again from the grave. They still present him as one, although in the heavens, that he's weak. He's unable to do what he'd like to do because, according to how people perceive him, sinners have to give him the permission to save him. Dear friend, that's not the Christ of Scripture. When it says here, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus," it says he shall save. Because salvation is of God. That's what his name means. Jehovah is salvation. He shall save. But who does he save? His people. who are his people? Well, read Scripture carefully and you'll see there's a people that God has chosen from all eternity. Even before Adam fell, even before there was even a human creature in this world, Christ was there as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world and God's purpose. And so he chose a people in order to honor his Son that he might redeem as the Savior. That's the whole reason for his coming, to save his people. And to save them from what? Save them from their sins. So you see, he's a sure Savior. And to save his people from their sins, he came as their substitute. He came to take their place in taking upon himself their sin and suffering the just punishment of their sin on their behalf, that God might be just in declaring them just, that he's purposed to save. No, he's not one who attempts to save, he saves. And those he saves are called sons of God. They bear the same name, the same title as he does, not by right, not by merit, but by grace. The Son of God became a man that men that God has purposed to save might be called the sons of God. So you see the glory of that name, Jesus. Jehovah saves. Jehovah is salvation. But secondly, he's called here great. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great. Here we see his supremacy. Now, how is he great? Well, he's great in his nature, equal with God the Father. In fact, if you read over in Colossians chapter 1, from verse 12 down to verse 19, you'll see the preeminence given to this one. And he's called the visible image of the invisible God. We're not to try to draw pictures of God or hang up pictures of so-called Jesus on our walls trying to imagine what he might look like. Dear friend, those are nothing but man's assessment of who he is. And I'll tell you, anything that man designs, that man produces, it's false, it's wrong, it's idolatry. He's great in his nature. And I don't want an image of him as men portray him to me. I wait to see him as he is. God in the flesh, the same Jesus that came and lived and died and rose again, ascended on high, he's coming again in all his glory, in all that he's redeemed, will enjoy his presence forever. He's great in his nature. He's God. He's great in his offices as prophet, priest, and king. His prophet, he speaks before God. He speaks on behalf of God. God has never spoken but what he's spoken through his Son. If he's revealed himself to anybody, it's been through his Son, his prophet, and his priest. Why does a sinner need a priest? Well, because God is holy and man is separated by his sin. And so Christ is that priest who enters in. He has entered in. Not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own precious blood. And he intercedes on behalf of those that he has redeemed. And he's the king. King means he's set upon the throne. God said in Psalm 2, I've set my king upon my holy hill. We don't make him king. He is king. He's great in his offices. He's great in his achievements. Not coming to try to save, but he came and worked out a perfect redemption. He obeyed perfectly the law of God and has worked out a perfect righteousness for his people. And he's the perfect representative as he intercedes on behalf of his people. He'll have everyone for whom he died. That's who he is. And he's great in the esteem of those that he's redeemed. To you who believe, Peter said, he is precious. So he's Jesus. He's great. And he's called the Son of the Highest. Here I see his deity as the Son of God. Not just a man, but the very Son of God. You know, any that are sons of God by grace, they're so by adoption. As a child of God, I'm so by adoption, not by nature, not by right, but only by adoption. God having purpose to make me his child. But he's the Son of God by nature, the eternal Son of God. He's the Son of God by right. And all the merit, all the glory goes to him. That's why he's called the Son of the Highest. And he bears all the qualities and characteristics of the Highest by right. He's Jesus. That's his humanity. He's great. That's his supremacy. He's the Son of the Highest. That's his deity. And then it says here, the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He's the king. Here we see his kingship. He was of the lineage of David. So, as a man in human flesh, he's a king by right. And as the Son of God, he's a king by right. It says he rules over the house of Jacob. Now, who is the house of Jacob? Well, you go back and read in the Old Testament about Jacob. He was a sinner, a rebel, a supplanter, to whom God was pleased to show mercy. And all who are children of God are typified in this one Jacob. Jacob was chosen of God. Jacob have I loved, the Scripture says. How is it that any can be called the children of God? It's by his divine choosing, his election. And so the house of Jacob is all those that God the Father has chosen, Christ the Son has redeemed, and the Spirit has called unto himself. That's his kingdom. Says he shall reign over the house. Christ has a house over which he reigns. And that house is the house of God's elect, his redeemed ones. It says he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. This is not speaking of just any earthly kingdom. No, it's speaking of a spiritual kingdom where Christ reigns in the heart of his people. And he's coming again to call unto himself all those that he's redeemed. And they'll enjoy his presence. They'll enjoy his glory forever in that glorified state. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7, it says, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forevermore. Is this the Christ that you know? Jesus, he shall be great, the Son of the Highest, the King. One of the old hymn writers said this, join all the glorious names of wisdom, love, and power that ever mortals know, that angels ever bore. All are too low to speak his worth, too weak to set my Savior forth. Well, I pray that the Lord God will be pleased to reveal Christ in you as you listen to this message. May be pleased to make Christ known to your heart.
You've been listening to the Grace Abounding broadcast sponsored by the Shreveport Grace Church. I'm Pastor Ken Weimer. We meet as a church at 2970 Baird Road, Shreveport, Louisiana, 71118. Our times of meetings begin at 10 a.m. on Sundays and again at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesdays. You're most welcome to join us for these regular times of worship. If you'd like more information about our church or like a recorded copy of today's message, please contact me either by telephone at 318-834-4395 or by mail at P.O. Box 5028, Shreveport, Louisiana, 71135. You may also contact us on the website at www.shrevegrace.org. Thank you for listening and plan to join us again for our next broadcast at this same time.